Welcome to another edition of Pittsburgh Pop with Rob Owen and me, Tim Benz, here on Trib Live. Glad you're with us. The holiday season upon us, the end of the year just about upon us. So that means that Rob Owen, who you can read twice a week here at Trib Live, you can always check him out, TV Talk, TV Q&A. Rob, you have posted your top 10 shows of the year, and who came in at number one?
Well, first, I want to just give the caveat that I always have to give these days, which is that these are my 10 favorite shows that I saw, because one person cannot see everything. So these are what I consider the best of what I saw. So that caveat has to get out of the way first. But I went with The Patient on Hulu as number one. That's the Steve Carell two-hander with Domhnall Gleeson. Carell plays a therapist who is kidnapped by his patient, played by Gleeson. It is taut. It is also just got the most economic storytelling. Episodes were like 30 minutes for most of the run. It's a limited series, so it's an easy binge if you so desire, but it is intense, so it probably wouldn't hurt to take a break between episodes. So I don't know. Did you watch that one, Tim?
I didn't. I kept meaning to, because it struck me as one that I would like.
Right.
You know, it happened at a time where I was so busy that I couldn't just sit down and watch. And then you told me to start watching Andor again. So now I have to finish Andor. And I'm kind of doing that in bite size, right, which I think is actually kind of fitting for Andor. Like, maybe even those hour long or 40 minute long episodes are good for 20 minutes at a time when I'm on the treadmill or something like that. Mm. You know, it seems to be going pretty well for me. But yeah, I still, you know, when that comes by on the reel or whatever, or your favorites, or the algorithm pops it up, I keep saying to myself, you know what? I bet you I would like that. Maybe I should give that a whirl. So that was your favorite of the year. How good was Steve Carell in it?
He's very good. He really does deserve some awards attention. And so does Domhnall Gleeson, because he really had to show some restraint, which he does well, rather than going over the top. So yes, The Patient, that was my number one. Andor also made the list pretty high too. I put Andor number three for the year, with Better Call Saul as number two. Because Andor just, I was just so impressed by it. And perhaps some of it was Star Wars fatigue, and this was so much better than typical Star Wars on Disney Plus that it made a real impression on me.
And you said Better Call Saul was two?
Better Call Saul was two. Yep. Andor was three. And then I had The Gilded Age on HBO as number four, The Serpent Queen on Stars as number five, Anne Rice's Interview with a Vampire number six, House of the Dragon seven, Hacks eight, This Is Us nine, and then I cheated and did a tie for 10, which was Ghosts and Abbott Elementary, and then there's a big long list of honorable mentions as well.
So you didn't get to a comedy until number eight, correct?
Right, correct, yep. Although, I would say, in fairness, there is a fair bit of comedy in a lot of these shows. Better Call Saul has comedy, Gilded Age has comedy, Serpent Queen, Interview with the Vampire. They all have elements of comedy, but a pure comedy, correct. Number eight, Hacks.
I liked Hacks, too. I sort of fell out before the second season. How many seasons? They're in the third season yet?
Next year will be the third season.
Yeah. How did you find the show progress through season two? Like, was it still as funny by the end of season two? Did you still enjoy it as much by the end of season two as you did season one?
I did, because the writers did this really tricky thing that you have to do with a show like Hacks. You know, in season one, you had the Jean Smart character and the Hannah Einbinder character. You know, they started at odds and then they slowly come together and they sort of are on the same page. And then they found a way at the beginning of season two, to thwart that relationship just a little bit, to sort of put the Hannah Einbinder character sort of on her heels, but not completely erase everything that happened in their relationship building in season one. So I thought they did a good job of that, because that can be a tricky thing. And again, how do they do that again in season three? I don't know.
And you've always loved Ghosts. I know that.
Yes, I have always been a fan of Ghosts and Abbott Elementary. And so I was glad to see, frankly, I was glad to see two broadcast network shows make the list. You know, the broadcast networks have become a little bit the underdog these days, after, you know, at one time being the big kahuna. And so I am happy to see that there is some, not a lot, but some quality content still available on network broadcast network television.
All right. So check out all of Rob's top 10. He just rattled them off for you. You can get a little bit more in depth as to why he put what he did where he did. That was posted. What day was it, Rob?
It went up online Friday. It's still the lead under TV Talk. And then it was in. Wait, it hasn't been in print yet. It'll be in print sometime this week.
Okay, so you can check it out this week in print as well. What about the November sweeps? How did those turn out?
Well, they were kind of interesting. You know, oftentimes our stations are locked in such competition that it's, you know, it's a very small distance that separates number one from number three, like tenths of a rating point. And in some time periods, that was still true. But more often than not, there was a pretty clear pecking order, which was KDKA first, WTAE second, WPXI third. The mornings, I would say, remain the most competitive time period, particularly in the household ratings. At 5 a.m., WTAE was first, but only a tenth of a rating point separated PXI and KDKA. KD was second, PXI third. At 6 a.m., the same thing held true. And then after that, it becomes much less of a horse race and much more KDKA dominant in just about all the time periods. There's just a few where we're WTAE and mostly in the demo, I think, where TAE beat KDKA. But it was notably ranked this time. A lot of times everybody has a good story to tell. They can pull out one time period. Oh, we did well here and they did well there. But this time it was a lot more consistent than you often see in Pittsburgh ratings. And I'm not quite sure why PXI had as rough a book as they had. But
I was just going to ask you if you had a working thesis in either direction as to why things went the way that they did.
I do not have a working thesis. The interesting thing to me was looking at some of the newer time periods, like that 4 p.m. slot that was last fall was new, having newscasts in all three time periods. And last fall, it was a much tighter race than it was this fall. This fall at 4 o'clock in household ratings and in the key demo of ages 25 to 54, KDKA was a clear first place, TAE a clear second place, and PXI a clear third place. And I don't know exactly why it went the way that it did, but it was definitely noticeable this year, whereas last fall, which was the first fall with three newscasts at 4 p.m., it was a tighter race.
Was that also reflected nationally? Did the national lead-ins have anything to do with it? Like, for instance, was CBS 1 and ABC 2 and NBC 3?
The only place that would have an impact would be after primetime at 11 p.m.
Yeah.
And honestly, sweeps has become such an antiquated concept that I didn't even see any sweeps numbers. If I had to guess, I would guess that CBS was first and that probably helped KDKA at 11 p.m. Because they are, by pretty clear dominance in households at least, number one. So I'm guessing that CBS helped KD, and I don't know enough about the ABC and NBC ratings to know if they pulled down either PXI or TAE.
Well, to your point, because sweeps are antiquated, like you said, it's sort of a dying concept. Do you think that Katie looks at these numbers and says, we're going to do more of exactly the same? Does PXI look at these numbers and say, we got to shake it up? I mean, my gosh, I feel like every time you're posting something, it's about somebody leaving one of these stations or somebody new coming in. I don't know how much more turnover you could really have. I mean, things have been juggled around so much, but are these numbers reflective, do you think, of not reflective, are these numbers indicative of potential future game planning, like KD for more of the same or PXI for upheaval?
I mean, I do think that ratings matter. Now, in a market the size of Pittsburgh, you get these over, you get sweeps every day, basically, but they still put an emphasis on the ratings books. So I suspect that if you didn't do well in a sweeps period, you probably are looking to figure out why and maybe make some changes. And I think if you did well, then yeah, you just keep on keeping on. But it is true that sweeps matters less than it used to. But I also think if you're not doing well in sweeps, you're probably not doing well out of sweeps as well. I don't think that the viewing patterns change that much during sweeps versus non-sweeps. I think the bigger issue is if you look at the ratings this November compared to November 2021, just the number of people tuning into these newscasts continues to decline. Now, more people watch in Pittsburgh than in many other markets in the country, but it's still a problem if your audience isn't tuning in.
Staying local, Rob, let's talk about Greg and Donnie coming back.
Yes. So Greg and Donnie is a web comedy series done by two guys from Johnstown, whose names are Matt Yeager and Jeff Scowron. I hope I pronounced those right. And Scowron plays Greg and Yeager plays Donnie. And it's a show that's been going on for, gosh, I think it's since 2009, but they haven't done new episodes since about 2016, other than a few pandemic specials. And so they are coming back now, doing some original episodes. It also stars two other folks, Kim C, I think I'm saying her name right, who's a Carnegie native, and Tamara Gindelsberger Fisher, who is from Jennerstown. They're also in the show. None of these people live in the area anymore. Well, I think actually, I think Tamara still lives in Jennerstown, Johnstown area, but everybody else is in New York, New Jersey area. So, you know, they mostly are talking to each other via video chat on these. Sometimes they're in the same room with one another. The thing that people really love is that they all use the Western Pennsylvania Yinzer accent. So you've got, you know, downtown and at and all that kind of thing going on. So it's a show that folks from this area in particular are get a kick out of. And it's a show that almost became a bigger thing. They won an award at the 2010 New York Television Festival and made a pilot for a series for IFC in around 2011, I think. And I really thought that it was going to go to series, and talking to them, it sounds like everybody there thought it was going to go to series too, because if you think about what was big at that time on IFC, Greg and Donnie as a series would have paired really well with Portlandia. Mm. You could market them as like both being these regional comedy type things. But then there was a change of leadership and IFC had to run everything up the flagpole to AMC, its parent company. And so Greg and Donnie did not move forward as a national series. So they are giving it a shot with another round of episodes. They're talking about maybe trying to pitch it as a cartoon series to a network. Unfortunately, their timing is really bad because there's all kinds of pressure on streaming and networks right now, and budgets are crunching, and AMC itself looks like it might go the way of the dodo bird. So you know, I would love to see them get some exposure and make it in the big time, but I'm glad that they're at least doing more of these episodes for folks locally, and their first one is back on December 6th, so tomorrow.
And finally, Rob, talk to us about Willow on Disney Plus.
Well, let me ask you this. Were you a Willow fan, Tim? Did you watch the movie in 1988?
I did not.
You didn't? So you've never seen it?
No, I have not.
So I saw it. I still have a Willow cereal bowl that I got for sending in, I think, Life cereal box tops. That's somewhere in the cabinet. I liked it. I think I liked the idea of it more than the execution of it. It was from Lucasfilm. That was at a time where Lucasfilm was coming off of Return of the Jedi and the end of the Star Wars saga. And this seemed like, oh, it's going to be the fantasy version of Star Wars. It stars Warwick Davis, who played Wicket, the Ewok in Return of the Jedi. And, you know,
he was the guy in the suit.
Yeah. He's a little person. And so he plays this sort of wannabe magician sorcerer type in this fantasy realm, and he has to go on a quest to save this baby. And so in Willow the series now, he is older, the baby is grown up, and there's some new threat to the land. And it was interesting. I was surprised that the Willow series on Disney Plus, which is now streaming and drops new episodes every Wednesday, it got pretty okay reviews, which surprised me because, you know, I went into Willow with, you know, a positive attitude because I liked the film well enough as a kid. And I was so bored by the series.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I felt like they made so many mistakes. Well, okay, so it starts, there's all these young kids. Some have British accents, some don't. Why? And you don't even see Willow again till the end of the first episode. But they start it with the idea that the baby he rescued in the movie, that baby's identity is a secret. And that seemed like something, okay, let's play that out for a little while to see who it is we have to save. But instead, they reveal the identity of the baby by the end of the first episode. So I felt like structurally, they made a bunch of missteps. Joanne Whalley is back as Sorsha. But Val Kilmer, who played Mad Mardigan, who was arguably probably the most liked character in the film, is not back. But they talk about his character a lot. So that's kind of frustrating as well. So I don't know. I was not wild about it. I don't think I'm going to continue with it. My kids kind of liked it. Maybe we'll watch it, but I don't know. I don't see this as being a huge hit.
Well, they barely got Val Kilmer back for Top Gun for Matt.
Well, I know. And I'm not saying that that's his fault. I'm just saying if you know you're not getting the guy back, maybe don't tease the character constantly because people are just going to be endlessly frustrated. So, but I don't see any way that this is as big a hit as a Star Wars or a Marvel.
Well, maybe they could have done with Val Kilmer what Raiders of the Lost Ark apparently is doing with Harrison Ford. She
the de-aging
Indiana Jones, which I would love. If anybody wants to de-age me, just let me know. I'm ready to be de-aged.
Yeah. I have no problem with that either.
Rob, what do we have for TV Talk and TV Q&A this week?
Oh, we have all kinds of things this week. Let's see. We have going to have something on QED Cooks, the WQED cooking show with Chris Fenimore that is coming back after a long pandemic hiatus. I talked to Antoine Fuqua, the Pittsburgh native who directs Emancipation, starring Will Smith. That's on Apple TV Plus Friday. What else? TV Q&A, but I don't remember what the lead is for that. But that's coming Wednesday too. Something local, I'm pretty sure.
All right, so check out TV Talk, TV Q&A. We will be back next week. We certainly will be back the Monday after that. Then we'll see what happens for the holidays. We'll figure that out as we get closer to the holidays. But we'll definitely be back with you for a couple more episodes of our latest Pittsburgh Pop podcast, which you can catch every Monday along with all of Rob's work and Read Me Daily Breakfast with Ben's. A little bit of a late week this week because I'm filling in for Mark Madden. I've got Duquesne games, and it's going to be a little frantic, but we will get you through until Friday. Until then, have a good week, everybody, and we'll talk to you again next week here on Pittsburgh Pop.